Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more. Hosted by
Hosted by Duchess. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. You don't know what I've been going through with this show today. I couldn't find my studio. I couldn't figure anything out. I mean, it's like my notes are just now being printed out. I couldn't post anywhere. I mean, you know, perhaps I shouldn't be doing the show today. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's a sign. Who knows? Maybe it's the new moon. You know, we don't have Lena Stevens today because Lena Stevens is, Lena Stevens is power path, or her monthly topic is not going to be posted until tomorrow, and so we don't have her today for those of you who might want her, so you just have me. But then there's this new moon thing going on, and I don't even know if I should try to bring it up for you. Maybe I should just try to print it off, because I mean, I'm going nuts about what's going on in with my computer and different things that are going on with me. And then I have something trying to catch me. I mean, I'm not about to catch. I'm not wanting that stuff to catch. I mean, you know, the chest is acting crazy. My eyes are getting all weepy and stuff. And that's what the deal is with me. So then I'm running back and forth trying to just take my fever to make sure I don't have anything heavy going on. I don't know. Maybe it's just the new moon. I had a good time yesterday. My grandson came by to visit me and help his mother, help me do some stuff around here, and that was a wonderful, wonderful thing. I am in this new facility, and that was good for me because the seniors in this complex, they go downstairs and they have lots and lots and lots of fun just doing stuff, you know. So I'm here for you. I'm trying to print stuff out, and it won't come out unless, I don't know. I'm not starting off the new year the way I expected it to start off for me. And like I say, maybe it has to do with this new moon in Capricorn. So that new moon in Capricorn started today, okay? And that new moon, it's called the Black Moon. And like I said, it launches a new cycle for the year. And if you have not already written out your intentions, this is a great time to catch up with that task. This moon supports pragmatic, responsible, and attainable goals. So, you know, a lot of people want to do their New Year's resolution. I'm not about New Year's resolutions. I'm about just doing things now as they come the best way I possibly can and be all that I can be in the best possible way. That's me. That's who I've been for the last past, you know, all my life, just about being the best that I can be. You know, like I was saying to a friend the other day that I went to the store just to buy some toilet tissue, and I wound up buying a box of Magnum ice cream bars. They have three in the box. And then I wanted my favorite Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but they didn't have it. But then I noticed that Haagen-Dazs had a sale, three for $10. And I said, wow, let's see what Haagen-Dazs has over there. So I wound up buying three Haagen-Dazs pints of ice cream that I'd never tried before. And you would think that I would just come here and eat them all. No, that's not how I do that stuff. I mean, I ate all three of the Magnum bars the same day. And that wasn't good, especially with the high blood sugar that I've been having. But then, what did I do? I looked at the 3 pints of ice cream, and somebody said, well, if you got high blood sugar, what are you doing with 3 pints of ice cream in your refrigerator? And my thing was, it's okay if I have 3 pints, because what I'll do is I'll look at the 3 pints in my refrigerator, and if I see them, I know I can eat them. And I look at them, and you know, spiritually, I talk to them, and I say, I know I can eat you if I want you, but I don't want you. I'll eat you later. And when later comes, I may go in there and look at them again and say, I could, but I don't want to. And so maybe I'll eat you later, you know? So let's go back to this black moon. Lena did post the black moon during one of her posts. She posted about it, the black moon for January 2nd. And it goes on to say, what is your ambition for 2022? What action steps can you anchor that are practical, attainable, and possible? Remember, there is a difference between intentions, goals, and resolutions. Now, intention is the end result you wish for. That's intentions. The goals are the steps you that help you get there. Those are your goals, you know? And the resolutions are the disciplines that help you to reach your goals. So I found that very interesting, and she gave an example. If your intention is to improve your living space, the goal may be a new couch, and the resolution would be to check out Craigslist every day and follow up on possibilities. Now, you know, I think I might consider that, because I really, really honestly and truly would love to have one of those lazy boy recliners in my apartment, because it's really a problem getting for me to sleep flat, laying flat in my bed. And I'm going to have to get a bed that I'm propped up, because my body and my back does not want me to lay flat in my bed. So, with that said, that's what I'm going to have to do for myself. So we have a topic today. And our topic, well, the topic that I chose for today, for the second day of the new year, I thought was a very good one. Because, you know, I've been in AA for 25.5 years, and it's something to stay clean and sober for one day at a time, you know. And I want to share that there is a practical progression to maintaining, you know, a healthy lifestyle and a healthy sobriety and a healthy spiritual life. And you know, being accepting to those people who want to challenge your growth or want to come on your side of the street and throw a little bit of trash there, you know, but it's up to you to keep your side of the street clean. And you don't have to go as low as they go in order to maintain your status and your equilibrium in your sober life or in your recovery life. Because as I listed on the posting for today, that there are at least 30 types of addictions. And people think the only addictions going on out there in the world are AA, NA, Al-Anon, Alateen, ACOA, which is Adult Children of Alcoholics, CODA, which is Codependent Anonymous. But there are at least 30 different recovery programs out there. And I listed a website where I've listed a link to my webpage that has 12-step recovery programs. And you will see that there are almost about 30 of them. And with the link highlighted that you can click on to go to that particular recovery site and find meetings for that particular recovery. You know, I mean, there's Gamblers Anonymous, there's Marijuana Anonymous, you know, there's Overeaters Anonymous, there's Gamers Anonymous, you know, there's pill addiction. There's all kinds of recovery programs that are available to you if your heart desires or if you feel like, I mean, there's even a recovery program for workaholics, you know. So I gave that link to my website, directly to that particular page in my website. But anyone who wants to go and take a look at the list of recovery programs, because there's gamers. People are addicted to Facebook now. People are addicted to video games, and they want to, you know, and it's ruining their lives because that's all they want to do is sit in front of that screen and, you know, push buttons. And that can get tiring, and they don't realize that it's an addiction that recovery can help. So let's we go through, you know, most people know that the 12, many people know the 12 steps in AA. And every single one of your recovery programs, all 30 of them, most likely follow the AA steps for their recovery program. So, you know, the AA 12 steps, that's like the father of or mother of all the 12-step programs because they follow those 12. That's why it's called 12-step programs, okay? So let's look at those underlying principles of those 12 steps, you know, because this recovery can be intimidating. You know, many people hear about the 12 steps made famous by Alcoholics Anonymous, and they think that the whole process is just too complicated. Well, this is precisely why it is so important to have a better understanding of the 12 principles of recovery. So those 12 principles are basic spiritual concepts that guide those steps. When you can grasp the underlying idea behind each one of those steps, it greatly simplifies things and makes it easier for you to follow the path of your spiritual journey. So that's why I'm going to be referring to AA, which is just referring to AA because it's like the foundation for just about all of your 12-step programs. That's why they call 12-step programs of recovery because they use those 12 steps. So let's take a closer look at each of the 12 principles of recovery and how they relate to the steps. So the first principle is to surrender. And the first step is we admitted we were powerless over our addiction, that our lives had become unmanageable. And this includes powerlessness over people, places, and things. So the very first step may be confusing to you because you would like to say, how can you expect to win the fight against your addiction if you are powerless? It goes against everything you think you know about the war on drugs or the war on any type of behavior that you want to get rid of, you know? But that's entirely the point. Insanity has been described as doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. Now, doesn't that perfectly describe your previous attempts at sobriety, at changing a bad habit, or changing anything that you do on a constant basis, and you say you're not going to do anymore, but you keep doing it? So how many times have you tried to quit drinking and drugging? How about overeating? How about accepting an abuser's abuse, etc.? And you're constantly swearing that this time I mean it. This time I'm not going to let this thing happen to me again. And how many times have you most solemnly promised yourself And you've been proven inadequate. I'm looking for my pen, so, you know, I'm sorry I paused like that. I'm looking for my pen because I want to check off my notes as I go through them. This is not to criticize. That's the nature of any type of addiction that you're involved in. Addiction is a disease of the brain that hijacks your will and renders your best intentions ineffectual. And because in some cases you are trying to overcome substances causing physical and chemical changes within your brain. So you see, you have a lot of things that are going on there. But your solo attempt at recovery was doomed to failure before you even started. If you are like most addicts, your substance use was at least partially fueled by your stubbornness. You cope with problems in your own way by drinking, drugging, eating, gaming, sexting, etc., to numb uncomfortable stress and emotions. And when that becomes a problem, you insisted that you could manage just fine on your own. It hasn't exactly worked, has it? But when you admit that your best intentions are unequal to the task and surrender to the reality of your addiction, you open yourself up to other possibilities that may be right for you. Surrendering does not mean giving up. On the contrary, it means you now have the freedom to move beyond your own will and ego. So how about principle two? Principle one was surrender. Principle two is based on hope. Step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Reflect for a moment on those words. Came to believe. Could there possibly be any better definition of how hope blossoms? Active addiction means the opposite. It means confusion. It means chaos. It means pain. It means shame. It means mounting consequences, and worst of all, deepening despair that your life will ever get better. When you look around, it's obvious that people can and do recover from even the most severe types of addictions. Even if you have no idea how to emulate your successful return to recovery, and because those people seem no better or stronger than you are, it's also obvious that they received help from someone or something beyond their own will. For lack of a better term, this someone or something is usually referred to as a higher power. So what is a higher power? It is anything greater than and outside of yourself and your own abilities that provides you with inspiration, strength, and guidance. Everyone envisions their own personal higher power differently. It can be God, your comprehension and understanding of God, spirit, it can be fate, it can be humanity, the universe, you know, the ancestors, it can be medical science, it can be other persons who have achieved successful recovery, you know, it's your choice what your higher power is and the power that's greater than yourself. This final example, other people who are happy and thriving without their addictions may even inspire you the most because it offers demonstrable proof that true recovery is possible. After all, if someone who has been where you've been and felt what you've felt can still recover to live a sober and serene life, maybe there is hope for you as well. Let's go to the third principle. Oh, wow. This one can be tough. Commitment. All right? Made a decision to turn your will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. That spirit, you know, that's the ancestors, that's the universe. As we understood him. That's the third step. Now that you have hope that a higher power can help you, what do you do with that fragile expectation? To borrow a phrase from poker, you have to go all in. That's what we have to do. It logically follows that if A, your addiction is beyond your poor power to control it, and B, your higher power can help you recover, then your only real option is to get out of your own way. No more stubbornly doing things your way, because that's what got you in trouble in the first place. When you commit to trusting in your higher power, it means you get off of your butt, okay? You get off your butt. And we're not talking about butt, B-U-T-T. Uh-huh. In other words, you fully decide to stop making excuses or protest against steps in the recovery process that don't fit or match your desires or preconceptions. Examples of but, B-U-T, behavior include, I need to go to a meeting, but I probably shouldn't be around this person, but my counselor told me to practice this exercise, but the doctor said to take this anti-craving medication, but I used to have this game called Yeah, But. It's called Yeah, But, the Game of Addiction. And it was a phenomenal game. Yeah, But. You're going to walk and talk your butts off if you want to maintain recovery. So, if you're going to want to balk at some of the things requiring you during recovery, then you're going to have a challenge with that whole system. It's easy to throw up a smokescreen objection, but that's just your ego talking. You know, resist the temptation to go back to your old way of things because you think you know better. If you already had all the right answers, your life wouldn't be unmanageable. Then there's the fourth principle, honesty. The fourth step is make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Addiction flourishes because of self-deception. No one wants to admit that they are addicted to alcohol or drugs or a person or a thing or a place or, you know, an object or a game. No one wants to admit that they're addicted to such things. All right? Woo! Just as they don't want to admit the dishonest or hurtful behaviors they engaged in while actively seeking out those addictions or drugs or alcohol or people, places, or things. That's not who I am, they tell themselves. But if addiction is a dis-ease or disease that promotes dysfunctional behaviors, true recovery must mean addressing those actions and the accompanying character flaws. So here's the thing. You can't get better if you don't identify precisely what's wrong. And in this case, that means taking an unflinching look at yourself, the real you, scars and all. This is the goal of the fourth step of recovery. The guiding principle of the fourth step is honesty. It breaks down into two parts, your moral inventory must be searching. You must thoroughly examine your character, your thoughts, and past actions, and make a list of both your defects and your strengths. Excuse me. You have to be fearless. Taking an honest account of your personal character means facing some uncomfortable truths about yourself. You must not be afraid to bring the skeletons in your closet into the light. Your natural impulse will be to minimize your faults and gloss over uncomfortable realizations. Everyone wants to be the hero of their own personal story, and it's distressing when that's not the reality. But anything less than absolute honesty means you are doing yourself and your recovery a grave disservice. So, once we in recovery go through this fourth step and take this fearless and searching moral inventory ourselves, then we move to principle five or step five. Now, the principle of step five is truth. Step five in recovery is admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Now, some people say that confession is the principle behind the fifth step. The open acknowledgement of personal wrongdoing. But what is confession except a candid admission of truth? And the truth is, the thought of confessing these painful truths terrifies many people new to recovery. But two old adages come to mind that together highlight why it is so necessary. The first one is, confession is good for the soul. And the second one is, the truth will set you free. This means that without confession, you stay morally unwell. That is an old saying that in recovery programs, there is an old saying that we are only as sick as our secrets. It also means that you will continue to be held back by your defects of character until you take steps to address them. From a practical standpoint, honestly admitting your wrongs to another person is a way to protect your recovery from one of the biggest problematic behaviors practiced by addicts, and that's self-delusion. Now, you know, addicts are not the only ones out there that are self-deluded. We have a lot of people walking around with their own delusions and, you know, their own beliefs. And what they'll do is they'll take a story and they'll twist it to make it fit their story. And it may not even be how it happened. When you make this admission to another trusted person, they can hold you accountable without judgment. And that's the beauty in this truth and this honesty and admitting to another person. You can't self-delude yourself if you've already shared these things with another person who can hold you accountable to your truth without judgment. Now, this means that it will be harder to fool them than it was to fool yourself. They will also be in a position to offer feedback and, if necessary, further guidance and advice. So why do you need to also admit your wrongs to your higher power if you've admitted your wrongs to this person? Just as they don't want to admit the dishonest or hurtful behaviors. You need to look at it this way. Because of your past, you're probably carrying around all sorts of emotional baggage. You're carrying around anger and rage and regret and shame, confusion, depression, and so on. Step 5 is your chance to unload that heavy burden and move forward with a lightened soul. So you admit these things to your higher power as well, to God, yourself, and to another human being out loud. The 6th step is willingness. This is the willingness principle, the 6th step. We're entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. You know, we all have some defects of character that we need to ask our Creator on a constant basis to please help remove from us. Yeah, we have people who go to church on Sunday, and after they leave church, they walk out into their defects of character, and they carry it with them until the next Sunday, you know. But we all have defects of character. In recovery, we do step 6, and we work on that. During the 6th step, the principles begin to work in combination. There's the willingness is your decision to stop holding back. In some ways, it is an extension of the principle of surrender guided in the 1st step. Put another way, it is you relaxing your ego and your will, letting go of your own preconceptions and stubbornness, and giving permission for your recovery to proceed. Willingness also means purposefully having an open mind. This means remaining consciously committed to accepting new ideas, new concepts, and ways of doing things. Even if you don't fully understand, you are or are uncomfortable at first, you are at least willing. In other words, it means having hope and faith that your higher power has you on the right path. Again and again, during recovery, you will be asked to reflect on concepts that are new to you or to do things that you may find difficult. But it is your willingness to do whatever it takes to recover that will keep you going while you are learning and you are growing. Now there is that 7th step. That 7th principle is humility. Humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Some people have a hard time grasping this principle because the modern definition is associated with weakness, passivity, or even punishment. But during the conception of the 12 steps, humility was more about having the proper perception of oneself. As Bill W., one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, said, humility is the clear recognition of what and who we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to be what we can be. In this regard, the principle of humility is important to your recovery because by recognizing how addiction was controlling your life, you can better understand the work that is necessary to distance yourself from your dis-ease. But when the definition of humility is expanded, it further demonstrates the need to set aside stubbornness, pride, and ego while you put your trust in your higher power. And the recovery process. Humility is the opposite of addiction-driven selfishness. As the author C.S. Lewis said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. This means that you stop being a slave to your wants and your desires, asking for the removal of the shortcomings that have held you back demonstrates how much you want to break free from enslavement. And when you are humble enough to admit that your self-centered ego, pride, stubbornness, wants and desires help support your active addiction and addictive behavior, then you begin to realize that there must be a better way. Always. I am so thirsty. Why didn't y'all tell me? Wet my whistle. So with that, we have principle 8. And principle 8 is your reflection. That's your reflection principle. So step 8 says, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Okay, so you're going to reflect. You're going to take your mind back. You're going to reflect. You know, and this is good exercise for a lot of people, for a lot of us, you know. Whether in a 12-step program or not, but 12-step people, this stuff is good for us, right? If the fourth and fifth steps were guided by the need for honesty and truth about our addictions and character defects, then the eighth step requires reflection on the consequences of our behaviors. This principle requires you to reflect on several concepts. It's amazing. Okay? The principle requires you to reflect on several concepts. To amend means to right a wrong that you have committed because the damage caused by addiction takes many forms. It demands careful consideration to determine who was affected and how were they harmed. To amend also means to make permanent changes. Any attempt to right your past wrongs are insincere and ultimately doomed to failure if you have not changed the behaviors that brought about the harm in the first place. All is mentioned twice. This means that accepting responsibility for your past actions is unconditional. Listing all the people harmed by your addiction-driven actions is a sobering exercise as you give real thought to the impact you have had on everyone around you. Because the list can be extensive, it is strongly suggested that you write it down. Possible headings on this list would include who was harmed, how they were harmed, your thoughts and feelings about the harm, how you can make amends. Here's the thing. By studiously contemplating how your past behaviors affected other people, you increase your chances of successfully changing your future actions. If you are sincere, you'll be less likely to repeat old mistakes. Now, The ninth principle, which is the amendment, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. I find this to be a very deep one. All the steps are deep. But the principle of amendment underscores how important it is to make a real effort to correct any mistakes you have made. Because it requires a direct positive action for a past negative action. Some people refer to this principle as justice. Unrighted wrongs result in unresolved guilt that can stunt your emotional growth during recovery. Okay, so, you know, we got to do this amendment thing. The weight of that guilt can slow your progress and even lead directly to relapse. Making amends, or at least trying to, relieves you of that guilt. Also, making direct amends in a manner related to the harm helps drive home the idea that your actions have consequences. So not only do amends help correct the past, they also remind you to avoid repeating those hurtful mistakes in the future. Finally, it is extremely likely that the people who were harmed the most by your addictive behaviors were those closest to you, spouse, your partner, your children, your parents, close friends, employers. When you make a sincere attempt to make up for the harm you caused, it goes a long way towards repairing and rebuilding positive relationships. Positive relationships and support are crucial to successful and lasting recovery. There are a few things that we have to keep in mind under this ninth principle or ninth step, which is the amendment. An amend is more, much more, than an apology. Sometimes direct amends are impossible. In that case, your only option might be to make indirect amends by living your best life possible. I have known people who have written letters of amends to people who had passed, who had died, and they had gone on, and they felt like, you know, wow, I need to make an amends. I need to make an amends to my mom because this, that, and the other. Or I need to make an amends to so-and-so, you know. And if it's somebody done a sponge, I'm telling them, go ahead and write the amends, put it in an envelope, put a stamp on it, mail it to my deceased mom, you know, heavenly, whatever, blah, 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 you know, in heaven may you rest in peace. And don't put a return address on it, but put a stamp on it, drop it in the mailbox. That way it cannot come back to you because there's no return address. And it goes off into the ethers so you can feel at peace that you've made this amends. But you have to always remember this, and I say this strongly. Your attempt to make an amends is necessary, but their forgiveness is not. They don't have to forgive you. They may never forgive you. But as long as your attempt is from your heart, your mind, heart, body, and soul, that's necessary for you to maintain your sobriety. You have no control over whether or not they accept that amends or not. Okay? I hope you hold that to your heart. Then there's 10. The 10th principle is vigilance. The 10th principle is continue to make personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Okay, so that's your 10th step, and the 10th principle is vigilance. Some people refer to this principle as perseverance, steadfastly maintaining your purpose in spite of discouragement, obstacles, and difficulties. That is also an excellent description of successful recovery. By the time you reach the 10th step, you will be feeling a justifiable feeling of accomplishment in your progress. Huh, unfortunately, it is far too easy to become complacent. A lax attitude often leads to a return to dangerous behaviors and thoughts. After all, old habits die hard. But keep this in mind. Unhealthy thoughts and behaviors lead to relapse. Vigilance means constant self-appraisal, where you repeatedly examine your thoughts, feelings, motives, and actions to make sure that you are not harming others or yourself. It means never letting your guard down, but it also means to persevere, to continue working your recovery program, even when it's hard. It means taking it one day at a time, one step at a time. Sometimes it might even mean taking it 5 minutes at a time and repeating a step over and over. Whichever prevailing principle concept you describe or you subscribe to, it could be vigilance or perseverance. It is important that you consciously choose to let it guide your actions. Please, please, please don't allow your progress to undermine your focus, and don't permit any temporary difficulty to lessen your resolve. Recovery is a lifelong work in progress. And you will find yourself revisiting these steps and these principles multiple times. The 11th step. The 11th step is sought through prayer and meditation to improve your conscious contact with God. As we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. This is your attunement principle. The principle of attunement prompts you to remember the positive lessons you have learned and to remain perceptive to the messages of recovery. These messages can come in any form and from any source. Your higher power, your peers, your counselors, or even from life itself, the harshest teacher of all. For example, your higher power may speak to you through your peers in a recovery group or in a 12-step support meeting, or it can speak to you, you know, you could be at the grocery store in the checkout line and someone say something to you, and your higher power has given those persons the words to speak to you through them. You may hear something in their familiar stories that is perfectly applicable to your own personal situation. But in order to hear that message, you have to be listening. So that's why, you know, that prayer and meditation, prayer is talking and speaking to your higher power. Meditation is learning how to listen. And when you go into the void of pure potentiality and you just listen and you learn to listen in the silence of it all, it comes through clearly when you're not expecting it. And you may be just walking down the street and approach somebody, say something to them, and they say something back to you, and it has just popped out of that field. Applying this principle of attunement also requires that you work on consciously increasing your awareness of yourself, your physical and mental state, your emotions and thoughts, your actions and reactions, and your personal situation. This awareness is so important because it helps you recognize and address problems before they become major issues that could jeopardize everything you have worked for. Many people in recovery achieve this self-awareness through some combination of prayer and or meditation. As with the other steps, becoming attuned to the will of your higher power requires practice. Get in the daily habit of finding a solitary, quiet place where you can be more receptive. As the 11th step says, there are two things you hope to gain. One is knowledge, okay? The other is power. Knowledge, you want to hear what your higher power is trying to tell you. Power, you want the resources and the ability to do the things that you should. The 12th principle is service. This can be a form of service. Me doing Inside Matters talk on the first and third Sunday. Service can be anything. Me taking food to the two senior citizen men on my floor and me taking some of my New Year's victuals to them. Service. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and other 12-steppers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. That's the 12th step of recovery. Service. The principle of service is a powerful culmination of everything that has come before. It incorporates several key concepts. Spiritual awakening. This refers to the profound change that successful recovery can bring to your life. It is more than just abstaining from alcohol or drugs or any other of the addictions. It is also about achieving emotional health, sanity, stability, serenity. It is about changing the way you treat others and yourself. Carrying this message, no one can reach a struggling alcoholic or addict or anybody who's suffering quite like someone who has been where they are, done what they have done, and felt what they feel. Just as some of your greatest inspiration came from other people who successfully recovered by using these steps, so too can you inspire others. And here's the best part. By giving someone else the roadmap to recovery, you will also find it easier to stay on the right path. Helping others keeps you clean, sober, and sane. Practicing these principles, it wasn't just the steps that got you to this point. It was also applying the principles behind these steps. Although in this instance, these concepts help you regain your sobriety and sanity, they are applicable to almost every area of your life. For example, imagine how much you would benefit if you were more honest, more humble, and vigilant in your professional life, or how your personal relationships would blossom if they were filled with hope and commitment. So, as we conclude, the value of having principles during your recovery and any other time in your life, even if you're not in recovery, there's value in it. Value in it for all of us. Value in it for every single walk of most people's lives, and I would say everybody's lives, to have principles. Some people think of the 12 steps as a roadmap that can guide their sober journey, and that analogy isn't far off. However, how good is a map that gives you directions but doesn't tell you about any obstacles along the way? You still might reach your destination, but it would be a lot harder and take much longer. Yeah, I like my Waze. Waze dude is really, really, because I got a Waze guy voice. Really do, you know. Police up ahead. You know, abandoned car on the side of the road. You know, I love that. So I got these guidelines and I got this map and it's telling me where to go, but it's also telling me what are the hazards on the road as I proceed. That is the person, that is the purpose of your 12 principles. When you work on each step of recovery, reflect on the underlying guiding principle. Don't just do what the individual step is telling you. Think about why you are doing it. When you fully realize why each step is so important, you are far less likely to stubbornly and foolishly try to do things your own way. You get out of it what you put in it. One very famous 12-step quote that is often repeated at the close of each meeting, it works if you work it. And some of us say, so work it, you're worth it. And others of us say, and it won't if you don't. So remember, it works if you work it. Keep one very important thing in mind. Recovery is a process. So we look at progress, not perfection. Sometimes your progress will be slow, and sometimes you may even stumble. But the beauty of the steps and principles is that you can always start over or pick up where you left off. Go at your own pace, because recovery is not a race. As long as you are trying, it doesn't matter when you arrive. It only matters that you eventually make it. With that, we will close our New Year's show. I hope this was helpful to someone. Not everyone wants to listen to the 12 steps. They don't want to be bothered with them. They think it's not for them. They think, oh, there they go, talking about that stuff again. Well, it's stuff that needs to be heard over and over again, you know? So how often do you say it? You say it over and over and over again for as long as you know one person may get it out of a million. And if you're able to help one person out of a million, then guess what? You're successful by repeating yourself over and over and over again, okay? But you don't have to repeat yourself over and over and over again to the same person, because after a while, that can get old. But if they come to you and they ask for it over and over again, then give it to them, you know, because they mean they want it. So with that, I'm going to say good night. You have a happy new year. We'll come together again third Sunday. I haven't been in touch with Fabio in a while. We keep playing phone tag. I'm praying that she's well and healthy, because in these times of COVID and Omicron and all kinds of crazy germs flying around, wanting to attack people and grab hold of people, we don't know what's going on. So with that, this is Duchess signing off and saying good night, and everybody be blessed. And once again, I hope this helps someone out there. Okay. Thank you.